going.
Good afternoon, everyone. I want to call this meeting to order, please. We have about one, two, three, eight or nine items, two or three new ones, and we will hopefully, I see people in the room who are going to be here to talk about them, and we will do that. First one I want to move to the top is, it is Amendment 25. It is Dan Levlin, Anna, it's TCAT money. Someone want to move that? Dan moves. Is there a second? Levlin, second.
I don't even know what I'm seconding, but okay. I remember TCAT.
What's that? Carol, what?
Wait, I just want to make sure we have a quorum.
I do have a quorum. All I need is eight people.
Oh. Okay.
Dan?
Comments?
Yeah.
Thank you. So this is not a funding increase for TCAT. This is maintaining the level of funding we've been doing, I believe, for 3, maybe 4 years. I can't remember the exact year. Originally, it was supposed to be in Target. However, that year that we added $50,000, the city of Ithaca, which also has to match it, decided to not put it in their equivalent of Target. They had some leftover money from Ithaca Transit account that was just sitting in an account for years. That's what they used to fund the increase that year. So we had to change it from Target back to one time. We've been doing that ever since. So I just want to say again, this is not an increase. This is just making it permanent, the same amount of money that both the city of Ithaca and Cornell put into TCAP.
Mike.
It's my understanding from Kevin that the other two partners have made theirs permanent.
Focus on the microphone, please.
Okay. I thought I was close enough. But, I'm sorry. Okay, I misunderstood what Kevin said then. So let me ask you. So the other two partners, have they made theirs permanent? Like, have they made theirs Target?
Yes.
So Cornell doesn't do budget like we do, but they're in for the same amount this year.
Okay, cool.
And City of Ithaca is at the same stage in the budget process we are, but, yes, it's proposed to be permanent.
Yes. Cool. The answer is yes.
Any other discussion on this? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, Fenny? Who's missing? Julie?
And Rich.
So 11. 11 yes, no, no. Okay. I neglected to tell you one thing. At the beginning of this, this whole process, we started with, was it 1.3 mil roughly, or 1.4 in the contingent fund? That number on top, 1.362. And what we have left is $121,000. And all of you who can add and subtract, if you look at these things, you will see that we're going to have to make some moves if we're going to stay where we want to, or at least where some of us want to stay.
You mean they don't equal $121,000?
I'm sorry?
Never mind. Mr. Chair, can we take up COFA?
I'm sorry?
Are we done with this? Can we take up COFA? The COFA resolution? Because I know Lisa has to leave, and she's got to rescue me when I botch this whole thing.
Can we take COFA? Yeah, we can take COFA. Amendment 55, COFA, $20,000. You want to move it?
Yes, sir. Ibabu.
Is there a second?
Yes, please.
Anna? Discussion.
Oh.
Are you not?
Mike.
Why do I feel like we did this already?
We did.
Because your question.
We sent it back for her to adjust.
Right. I said I was going to go work on some magic and come back because we were more interested in making sure that the aides are the ones who get the money and not just the agencies. So if y'all want to hear more, that's what we came up with. Lisa can say more about how we're going to make this happen. Her and Bob just came up with some magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and discussed it with my fiscal coordinator, and what we can do with this to try to meet that deliverable would be to offer a 2% rate increase to the agencies, which would be, of the $20,000, would be about $8,000, and then utilize the remainder as for the agencies to pay for an up to 5% increase in AIDS take-home pay. And we have a spreadsheet where the agencies would fill it out and document to us that the funding actually went to the take-home pay for the AIDS, in the same way that the agencies had to claim the direct care worker funds. When we got those funds from New York State, we utilized a similar spreadsheet. We just made it a bit more simpler this time around. So that's what we would propose.
Carol.
Yeah, I just want to point out, so I was one of the people who had put this on originally. It was like item number two, I think, on our original sheet. And Lisa, we had a lot of questions for Lisa, this one in particular, and she got back to us literally within an hour of the workday starting the next morning. So I hope, and you know, and the questions were answered to my satisfaction, and I hope that people will support it.
Joe.
Yeah, let me make sure there's clarity here. You did approve this, but you approved it in contingency until you had more details. So what you would be doing tonight is voting to, instead of putting it in contingency, put it directly into COFA based on what Lisa has told you tonight. So that would be the effect of your action tonight.
Okay, so I am moving to lift it from contingency and place that $20,000 in the COFA budget target. That's what I'm doing. Got it.
And who was the seconder for that? Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So shouldn't be any discussion about that, but go ahead.
Lisa, explain again. I thought I heard you say 5%. Explain again what you
mean. Sure. So of the $20,000, we would use about $8,000 off the top and to fund a cost of living increase for all the rates that we reimburse the home care agencies themselves. Then the remainder we would set aside, and the agencies could send documentation back to us that they have put money toward the AIDS take-home pay up to a 5% increase. And we did some math to figure out up to what percent, and it could be up to 5% increase in the AIDS take-home pay. We would use the remainder of the funds, but we would require that documentation.
And that wouldn't just be one time. That would be going forward. This is targets. That would be built in.
We could do that the same with this fund, this amount of funding next year.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand.
Yay.
Post Penny. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe, I neglected to ask you. You wanted to have a conversation about sales tax.
I do. Briefly. So we had said a couple of weeks ago that the third quarter sales tax comes in about this time of year. In fact, it has. It came in. I think Rick got the numbers on Thursday, cranked them out so that we can understand them on Friday, and we've been looking at that. The third quarter came in above third quarter of last year, although it's interesting. The first quarter to first quarter was up by like 10%. Second quarter to second quarter was more like 5%. Third quarter to third quarter is less than 3%. I think it was 2.6%. So there's kind of a steady decline in terms of growth quarter to quarter. So I would still argue there's a lot of volatility in this account, and we ought to be careful about what we assume in terms of sales tax in the future. I do think, though, as you're getting to the end of this process, that there's probably an ability to bring some additional sales tax dollars into the budget to help balance if your goal is still 2.4, at the 2.4. So I just want to make sure you're aware that there could be, well, there is additional revenue capacity to support some of the things that you will be talking about tonight. I mean, I think the best case that I would feel comfortable with, best case, is a little bit more than $200,000. I would encourage you to be very cautious, though, on this, just because, again, we're still seeing a great deal of volatility in this account, so you don't want to go overboard. But it could, again, that'd be the best case, I think, on bringing dollars in from sales tax.
Martha.
Thanks, Joe. So I'm looking at the next item, number OTR9, the 150.
Yeah.
So maybe we should let it move first and get on the floor. But my question is about which makes more sense. Do you want to go ahead and move?
Thank you. I appreciate your help. Keep going. Go ahead.
Well, just the idea of, so if we, let's say we didn't approve this next one. Never mind. Because I think there's a lot of confusion about this next one.
I can speak to that when it comes up, if you'd like.
All right.
Yep. Glenn.
I also move the next OTR.
Okay. That would be good. Is there a second for that? Mike. Discussion now.
29. Second item.
It is a number 29, contingent fund, funding to mitigate risk and uncertainty. It's the expense of $150,000. Mike, and then Mike.
The concern here continues to be the casino revenues. This gives us a little cushion. Yes, it's on the tax rate, but we would have to dip if we didn't get the casino revenues that we're planning. We've added $1.2 million into the budget this year, which we didn't have last year. And we're keeping our fingers crossed. The revenues are down, according to the news reports. And this just gives us the ability to roll with it if we have a reduction.
Mike Ziegler.
I guess I'm just missing. I just don't understand why we would do this. I mean, this is kind of why we budget anyway. I mean, we budget to mitigate risk and uncertainty. I mean, if we were to come up short during the year, we would address it at that point. I don't really know why we would need to. Why don't we put all the money into that? Because that's kind of what we do. So that's why I'm wondering why we're considering this.
Dooley. Joe, do you want to?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dooley.
So you're moving contingent fund Monday into the contingent fund, just giving it a name. I agree with Mike Ziegler. I don't see any reason to do this.
I'd like the record to show that Dooley agreed with
that. Yeah. Someone get a picture of that.
Is that one time?
Joe, did you want to jump in or no?
Well, I'd like to, I guess, yep. Let me speak after the legislature has an
idea. All right. Well, that may be impossible, but go ahead, Martha.
So what? Am I right? What this does is it just says we're going to raise an extra $150 that isn't meant to actually pay for anything, but we're just kind of adding to the whatever cushion, wherever you call a cushion.
As we do right now. So right now we have a contingent account that has, what is it, $900,000 or so in it. So we always have a baseline amount of contingency because there are things that happen, some of which are very predictable. People leave, and we have a policy where we pay terminal leave pay. Some of which is unanticipated. Things happen. And I think as we were developing this budget, there were a couple of things that came to mind. Mike touched on one. We have new revenues. We don't know the direction they're going to go, casino revenues especially. Sales taxes still scare me. So that was a part of the thinking. The other part of the thinking is we live in a time of greater uncertainty than I've ever experienced, I think, in my career. And so this is kind of it is kind of a hedge against other things that may happen that right now we can't really predict. And so it raises our baseline contingency by another $150,000. That's what we've tried to
do. Okay, got it. Thanks.
May I? I would move to change that number from 150 to 75. Would we have a second for that? Glenn. Any discussion about that? Dooley.
Tell us why.
Well, there's still that uncertainty, but I don't believe it's $150,000 uncertainty. It's more like a $75,000 uncertainty. I'm certain of that. And, you know, I certainly recognize we have $100,000 in our contingent fund, and we like to have that. Things happen. We're living in a different time. I am not taking the county administrator's words, but we are. You all know that. And one never knows what's going to happen. Martha.
I'll support that, knowing that, like, by the end of the night, we could go back to this and make it 50,000 or another, or 150 or something. But at this moment,
I had that in mind. But.
All right. So I'm good with 75. That Ouija board thing.
Anyone else? Carol.
Okay. How much do we need to bet that we need a casino hedge? Joe, could you refresh my memory on what our casino revenue was this year, and then what we've got in the budget that you've spent for Target, and what on one time for 2018?
Okay. Yep. So the assumptions that we applied on the casino revenue estimate, looking at the first half of the year, it looked like we would generate about $1.6 million this year. And then we said we expect there to be a reduction in the honeymoon factor. And we took a 25% reduction in what we expected to receive this year. And that's what brought it down to the $1.2 million. We do have the third quarter numbers in. Those came in today, I think. And we're tracking just at about that 1.6. Could be between 1.6 and 1.7 if things continue to follow course. So we're doing as we thought we would do this year. And the question is whether we've made the right assumption about the drop-off that could occur next year. Again, we assume 25%. All of the $1.2 million is in Target. None of it is in one time. So we brought it in as general revenue, and basically we've moved that 1.2 into a contingent account for you to decide how to spend it. So it's all in Target.
It's all in Target, as opposed to this year where we spent it on a one time expenditure.
That's correct. So in the first year that we received it, which was 2016, it was for licensing fees. It was one-time money. We used the one-time money combined with some of the early revenues this year to buy the building and to put money aside for its improvement. From here on out, this will be recurring revenue, ongoing revenue that is absolutely appropriate to use for Target expenses.
Okay, and how much of that comes from the casino to the north of us, and how much the casino to the south of us?
Is it about 2 to 1? Is it about two-thirds of it comes from up north, and a third from Tioga?
To do it at any level just seems, you know, we should decide how much we want in the contingent fund. And not necessarily have that dependent on the casinos. So I'm not sure how I separate this with this kind of resolution as opposed to looking at our assumptions that around the sales tax. So I think it's too complicated to try to amend this to be an adjustment to the sales tax assumption, so I think I don't support this. I'm with Mike.
Rich, and then Dan.
First, I apologize to my colleagues for being late. It's harvest season, and that's why I'm coming filthy. And just for the record, I would have supported the COFA vote and the TCAP vote, and I understand those both passed. So, on this subject, I would support a $75,000 vote now and ask that we consider the other $75,000 at the completion, put it at the end of the list so we can think about it further then. I agree with Joe that we seem to be piling uncertainty onto uncertainty in these times. You cannot open the paper and read about what's going on with our friends in Washington without wondering what will they do tomorrow. And so I think this, while it does have a sense of redundancy about it, I think it makes sense to place this some money aside for just addressing the uncertainty.
Dan?
I don't think we should do this because, yes, there's uncertainty, but we have a very large fund balance, and that's where our hedge against the uncertainty is. Fund balance is like $30 million, so $150,000 compared to that is not much. And if I'm doing my math right, we can fund everything on this sheet. If we don't do this one, we can fund everything else in the sheet and actually lower the tax rate from 2.4 a little bit, maybe 2.3. I can't do that level of math. That would be a really good compromise for everybody on this legislature, I would think. We accomplish all our funding goals, and we come in below our own goal for tax rate. So that's what I would like to see.
Second bite?
Yeah, so I have another question. So if we did this, we are then just generally raising what's in our target fund so that if the revenues came in as expected by the end of the year, we've just generally got more in target to start with for next year's budget. Is that correct? I'm asking Joe, I guess.
I guess you could look at it that way.
Jim?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way.
Or would we, it would be in the target fund, but only towards the casino income line?
No, break apart the casino thing. The casino was one of the underlying considerations when this was put in. This is an expense, so it does affect your baseline funding, your target funding in the future.
I may have just changed my mind.
Leslie.
Do it at the higher amount.
Leslie.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dan. I really hope that we do not do this because we really do not need to right now. So I hope we don't. So, you know, thank you, Dan, for raising that.
Well, your hopes can come true. I think we're going to vote on it or not. All in favor of the $75,000 amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? Let's do it again. All in favor of the 75?
Just to be clear what we're voting on. We're voting on the substitution, not the actual.
Yeah, right. And then we have to go to the main motion.
You know, never mind. Don't.
All in favor of the 75 substitution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed?
Sorry.
It loses.
I just needed another minute. I will revisit this at the end if you want to bring it back.
The main motion.
What was the vote?
7-5.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Right? Okay.
7-6.
Or 7-6, sorry. Not enough. The main motion? Right?
Why is not enough?
450.
We're thinking about it.
It passes.
It passes, yeah.
Because we're in a
in ABC.
So you have
13 members present.
Yeah, the majority,
no.
Oh,
you need 8 for quorum, and it's a majority of those present.
But now the main motion, right?
Correct.
The main motion was 75. Yeah, I was thinking 8 to for a budget. All in favor, please raise your hand. The main motion is 75. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lost a few. do it again. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed. Everyone else. County Administration Fellowship. Anna, you want to move it? Okay. Anna moves it. Is there a second? I'll second it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm surprised.
Okay, what?
You got
no,
a second?
I seconded it.
Kevin has a question, actually, before we go on.
Kevin.
I'm sorry, Jim. I was logging the amendment, and I missed whether that last one passed or...
It failed.
All right, thank you.
Anna, we moved it. I seconded it. It's Fund Public Administration Fellowship program for $103,000 multi-year.
And I'd point out two important things. One, I had a very similar mathematical exercise before we started this and made the same assessment that we could fund all of these and still stay under the 2.4. I'd also point out that this is not target. This has been, from my understanding, something that has been thrown around for a while. I supported it particularly because I'm concerned about the rate of retirement that's happening right now and that will be happening over the next 5 years. I think that this is an opportunity to bring people who are coming out of graduate programs from Binghamton, from Syracuse, from Cornell, who are coming out of master's programs in business administration to have real-world experience immediately in their first position here in the county to learn what we do, how things run, mentorship from all the different department heads, and have that hopefully be an inspiration since they would already be in the system to stay and engage and take roles and diversify our staff population. I think that it would be very helpful, and it also obviously could be creating some succession plans. Some people may or may not agree with that, so those were the reasons that I put this forward.
Anyone else? Mike, Dan, Martha. Mike Lane, Mike Ziegler, Dan, and Martha.
For all the reasons that Anna just said, I think we should do this. It gives us an opportunity to bring some younger faces in who can look at different parts of the county. It's sort of a grow-your-own program for succession, for diversity, for the ability to let people know that a small rural upstate county like ours has a lot of potential and a great place to go to work for our county. I'd really like to see us try this.
Mike Schaefer.
So I have to apologize. I have to literally leave in 3 minutes for another meeting, but I did want to say on this, I'm impressed that we're actually pulling this out of reserves. Frankly, I almost look at this as like a capital expense, and that's kind of the reserves is the closest thing we have to that. I mean, we're very used to kind of investing in people through capital funds or into bridges and roads and structures, and this really seems like a way to kind of invest in people. And it's almost a capital expense to me. So, you know, I would support this. And I'm impressed that it's coming out of reserves. I think that's good.
To end on such great agreement.
Dan, and then Martha.
The way I view what happens in the county is that there's always new things coming at us, things we didn't anticipate. And this is going to give us some capacity to deal with those things, especially at a time when we're going to be getting a new administrator who's going to be using their time to get up to speed on all the sort of day-to-day stuff, not the new things coming along, not the things that require some extra research and some extra attention. So that's why I support this.
Martha, Carol, Levlin, and then Jim.
Well, maybe I'm a little slow because I want to understand this. So this is intended to be two different fellows, staggered, overlapping. Is that right? Over 3 years, right? And
they each have 18-month terms.
Each have 18 months. And where do they sit? Isn't that one of the issues we have somewhere here, an issue about renovating space in admin? And is this one of the issues?
It is. So if we were to go forward with this, We are going to have to look at space needs in the office because you've approved another senior level management position there. There would be one and then two of the fellows if you approve it. So we would have to find additional space for the office. Yes.
Do we have any even rough drafts of an idea or?
Right. Oh. I think I conceded in an earlier meeting that we haven't gotten to that stage. We know we have space available. So we know we have a health department that has a large block of space. We know the COFA has space in the back. We believe that there are some moves that can be made that can take advantage of that, provide some elbow room. But I can't say that we have thought that through, and we know how we would accommodate the specific needs of administration and all that.
Okay, so it's one thing to renovate space and play musical chairs when you've got a deputy county administrator, you know you're keeping, you know, that's a real change. It's another thing to how much gymnastics are we going to do for two temporary fellows. So are they going to actually be in admin, or is it possible they might, say, be working out of the health department based on a topic or mental health or something?
Yeah, the expectation is they're going to rotate through county departments. And I should let Paula's done a lot of work on this. I should let her explain how that's going to work. But yeah, you won't have two people stationary in our department for the next 3 years, no. But.
Well, I was going to say, and I was a little more optimistic, but I let him give you the first answer, thinking, yes, you can have different departments sponsor a fellow. So that it's left up to that department to actually provide that space. But keeping in mind that we're also looking at them doing a rotation through county administration as well as through the county finance department. So, you know, in a sense, they will be playing musical chairs somewhat, but it depends on who the hosting department is.
I don't mind if the fellows play musical chairs. I don't want our whole permanent staff to have to adjust for temporary. Okay. And if I can just ask, so how does sort of the application process go? Who, how do we find them and who applies and who decides?
Well, there is a proposal that we would have a group that would oversee this whole program. We try to use whatever infrastructure we already have in place. So, you know, the way that we recruit our applications online and things like that. We would have to do outreach to a number of the schools that we think would be really good, you know, pipelines for assisting this. Probably using whatever mechanisms they have in place to also help us with that outreach. There are a number of sample programs out there, ICMA being one of them. Not to say we're going to take their total application process, but there are enough examples out there that it wouldn't be hard to put an application together. And, of course, we want it to lend to what we think the needs of the potential hosting departments might be. And that's also the way that we would then screen the applications, because obviously if somebody is interested in criminal justice, but where we have them is more in health or in planning or something, you know, we would want to have that be a good match.
So you'll ask the departments for their ideas and needs at the
Absolutely.
Beginning of this run.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you. I support it. I just wanted to understand it better.
Carol.
Yeah, I wanted to hear a little bit more about who's going to put their how much time into overseeing them. It's one thing when you've got somebody who's been around for a long time, but since we have somebody who will be a new administrator, do we need to wait and give them the time to talk about whether this is how they can spend their time when they start, or would you be overseeing them, Paula, or you know, how would we be handling that?
Well, I've been overseeing sort of the research of the concept and the idea back in the fall of 2016. So we worked with a group of CEPA students through their public exchange program to actually go out and look at other types and other models that were out there. So I've sort of been that point person all along. But in the proposal, we are asking for a work group preferably members of or department heads that would be most interested in helping to launch the program. We also know that our HR commissioner would be involved, and of course, you know, we have our new manager of talent acquisition and employee engagement that would take an integral part as being a member on this work group. So the program itself would really have the oversight of the work group, not a single person.
Okay, and I should have said your position rather than you personally. I mean, you know, it's because we could have new people in any positions at any time. So I, okay, thank you.
Lifelong, Dooley and Anna.
So I have struggled with this. Like the idea, I struggled with it because there are departments who come before us asking for additional staffing to be able to do their current jobs, and some of which we have not funded. My colleagues have heard this from me, some of them, not everyone. So I struggled with this. I'm also struggling with what I'm hearing, and maybe this is not the way people meant it, but what got translated in some of the explanation is that the folks who are currently working for us, when others transition out because of retirement and whatever, that they might not be good enough. It's not what you intended to translate. It's somewhat what came across. So we need this new blood. We need these new things to sort of fill those succession planning roles, is what folks said. So I just caution us to be careful in what we're, how we're saying things. I would support this if I'm understanding that if we do it, it's not going to increase or put us above our tax cap or levy or any of that. Is that what folks are saying?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to trust you all because I can't do the math. I can't even see the thing up there now.
I wouldn't do that.
It's one time.
Don't trust them. I'm not trusting them.
Out of reserves. Yep.
It's coming out of reserves. And it's multi-year. So if we do this, we can also do the other thing or things that are on this agenda out of reserves and not go crazy, because that's what I heard Jim saying earlier, that we're going to have to do something different.
Kevin?
Leslin's question is reminding me that I forgot to point out a new feature on this already crowded screen that maybe
I need to do that, Kevin. I remind people of things. Go ahead.
Over on the what to me is the right-hand side, this new box over here gives you a tally of what's left to consider.
Okay.
So, for example, when Dan was saying he believed that the remaining target items could be covered within the amount that is still available from that $1.3 million allocated in the contingent fund, he was right. Once that 150 goes away, there's 41,979 pending in target. That's this number, and you can see it again. And this one-time number here, Leslin, includes the 103 in the multi-year.
Thank you.
Sure.
You're welcome. I like little crowded boxes. Thank you.
I have Dooley and Anna and Jim and Mike and Martha. Mm-hmm. Carol again.
Well, I do not see this at all as part of succession planning. This is bringing people in who may be interested in government, and I would hope that they would not need this to make them be interested in government. If Joe were not leaving, and if he were going to be around and he was enthusiastic about overseeing them, that would be in this program's favor. I am not enthusiastic about this at all at this time. I would rather let our new county administrator settle in and see if that person brings any new ideas for the legislature to consider. I don't think that this is a good time for us to be starting this not clearly fleshed out program. At least it's not clear to me. If we're going to put together a group to oversee it, if that group existed and we're proposing something fairly clear, that might make a difference to me, but it's just not ready for prime time as far as I'm concerned.
Anna?
I don't really want to have an argument of whether this is a diversity or succession plan, or I think the question is whether or not, for whatever reason, people think it's a good idea. And obviously we all have our own vote on that one and our own opinions. I just wanted to add that we do have the space that the Sustainability Center used to be in, and that is in the same building that the Office of the Aging is in. It is already built. It is available. So when we're talking about space, I want to have us consider that. And the other is a question for Paula, just a clarification. The interns or fellows, the idea would be to have them come in with a project in mind, or we have specific things that we, many different things that we have a need for that they could focus on. So I guess my question is, there are specific projects. It wouldn't be simply that they'd be coming in and shadowing.
Absolutely. And that's part of how we might populate this work group, meaning those departments that have special needs and that would be looking to sponsor a fellow.
So right now there are specific projects that we have needs for that aren't being, you know, they're not necessarily our main priority, but they kind of need to get done, very succinct projects. And so in this, you would have a proposal where you would list those and then build teams that would be appropriate for those. And then the interns or the fellows, I'm sorry, could pick between those projects.
Right. Well, that's also part of the reason why we'd like to have some knowledge of projects up front, because then that would help to feed our outreach and to inform, so that fellows can see whether or not this would be a good match for them, so that they would know that they would be focusing on X project, and if that speaks to their skill and expertise, then those would be the ones that we would assume would want to jump on board and apply.
So last piece of that, then, their application specifically would be targeted towards, this is a particular project that I'd like to work on, here's my proposal, here's who I am, and it would be specific to that project.
Yes, we want it to be a good match for both the hosting department as well as the fellow that's bringing their skill and interest to the table, because that's what makes it a successful experience for both parties.
Thanks.
I think it's my turn. I want to remind people, if you didn't fund programs that were completely fleshed out, or we wouldn't be funding a lot of programs. Because there's a constant discussion about those kind of programs. We're going to figure it out later. I will support this. And one of the reasons is because Paula came to the Budget Committee with a pretty extensive description of what the program would be if it were approved. I view this program as sort of a student-teacher program. When I was still in the business, I had student teachers. I supervised them, and they came in and tried to learn the business, so to speak. And I kind of view this, and I may be wrong, and Paula, you can tell me, but somebody is going to come in here, and we're going to connect them with something we need in the county. I don't think they're going to be lifetime employees. They will be here for a while, do their job, and hopefully move on. When Kevin Sutherland became our employee in Kevin McGuire's position, he was able to bring people down the hill from Sloan Program and others. who did a great job for us. And I think this is a more formal arrangement within the department. So I will support it. Mike, Carol, and Will.
I don't think this should be viewed in any way as looking down on any of our employees, Leslin. This is an opportunity to bring some new folks in to give them some experience. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Carol, Will, Martha.
Yeah, so my two hesitations had been, the one that Dooley was expressing is just the right timing. And as I'm sitting here thinking about it and hearing more about it, it sounds like, there would be startup time to put the pieces in place, to publicize it to those who might apply, to engage in a selection process, and to seat it different places as these two people rotate through different the various departments. So I guess I'm seeing that concern that I shared with Dooley, that there would be time for the new players to settle in and understand how much time they had to put towards it, and that we can trust our staff to make it fit, or come back and say, we just can't do this right now, we want to put it off a little bit. And then the other was, how much we're spending down of reserves, and I'm looking at the book and realizing, Kevin, you have an amazing amount of material, information up there, including what we're drawing on reserves and how that's changing from the recommended to the amended budget, but not the figure of what that's drawing against, which is, am I right, it's still over $30 million, or, had started at over $30 million, our reserves? That would be on, where did I see it? Not on the page anymore. Status of general fund balance. Section 2, page 28. Is that the right line? The unassigned general fund balance?
Yes.
So that's started at $31,474 and change. So I think we have it. So that was my other question, was did we have enough to start thinking about drawing this much, and I think the answer is yes.
I will.
Thank you. Question for Paula, and coming from Dooley's point, am I right that this will not burden the new administrator, that the actual supervision would be to other department heads who felt that they wanted to participate? Is that a correct assumption?
The supervision is actually done by the host department. But because this is also a new program, we have proposed a work group that would also oversee it.
Okay.
So that, we have a small group that's kind of learning through this process and making adjustments as needed.
And we're not yet defining the timing, so that it's not clear when this would start. It would start when it was meant to be. Is that correct, or is it?
There was a proposal, and there still is, a draft proposal of looking to start something this coming spring. But, of course, that would assume that we get the work group in place, that we have identified the projects, that we've done ample outreach, to the schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it might be more towards the end of the summer or fall. And we're trying to time it when we know that a lot of these master's graduates are looking for opportunities. I mean, the other thing, to keep in mind is we as in a local government, are in heavy competition with both the nonprofit as well as the private sector. I don't know the exact figures, but in just having a chat with SEPA, you find that a lot of those students, this is public affairs students, that a good 50% of them are swayed to go to, the for-profit sector. So this is yet another opportunity to truly give them hands-on experience above and beyond what somebody might might gain as a student intern, where you can only do something based on a class that you're in or by a short semester time frame.
Right. Thank you.
Martha. Okay. All right. Three things. Bear with me. So no new graduate out of a master's program is going to, like, bump somebody who's, you know, about to retire. So it's not an immediate succession plan. It's kind of long-term, like building the farm team or something. And I presume if we're going to be really cool and a great place to be, they're going to tell their friends, and everybody's going to, you know, going to get a lot of great applications, da-da-da. So that's one. So number two is, Rich, I think you owe Joe an apology for saying that wearing a Syracuse sweatshirt, you're filthy. It's just that.
It hurt.
It looks good. I mean, that's fine. I think, yeah. So, I think I am going to make a motion just to accept everything that's on the sheet, because then we'll be done. So,
I second that.
Gee, thank you for your help. Paula, you wanted to say something.
Well, just a couple of things. In the process of doing research about this, we also surveyed a couple of our department heads who have been hosting interns at various levels. And all of them seem to view this as a very positive experience, including for their staff. The idea of new talent, new ideas, introducing technology into what you do, it's all been a very positive experience. This is a way to somewhat formalize that and actually keep track in terms of performance of how well the program is doing. And so it takes it out of isolation, because right now, you know, departments can do their own thing in terms of hosting interns. This makes it more of a organizational level thing, where we are really intentional about the projects that we have, about the talent that we're bringing in, and then monitoring how well the program is doing. So, to some degree, this isn't new, but at the same time, we're trying to structure it a little bit differently and intentionally monitor it differently.
Leslie?
Thank you. Go Syracuse football. Something to cheer about, math.
How about that Clemson game?
How about that Clemson game? Hey. Anyhow, I'm... There's been a continued mention of succession planning, and this is why I brought it up, because I'm not sure I understood how this is doing that when we're probably going to turn over these folks every 18 months. Somebody comes in, somebody goes out. I know Joe has been in this kick, and how do we get young people interested in jobs in county government? I got that, but it doesn't mean these folks are going to stay, right? Are we saying once you're done with your 18 months, you stay in the county? Is that what we're saying? That's not what we're saying with this. So there might be turnover and a new two people come in.
Right. Well, we're not guaranteeing jobs. No.
Right, and that's why I was saying what I was saying.
But what we do guarantee is, hopefully, you know, a really positive experience.
Thank you.
Maybe they will look to hang around, that maybe they will look at when an opportunity comes up, because we can't circumvent civil service rules. So, you know, they would still have to apply for a job and all those kinds of things.
Thank you very much.
I'm just praying none of those fellows are watching this. But go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to add, and I know Joe and I have had some conversations about this, and Martha's comment I really appreciate, and Leslie, and I appreciate that you brought up this conversation, because it gives us a chance to air it out. For my part, I just want to add what I'm referring to about succession plan is the fact that right now none of those people are currently applying, or very few of them have interests or see the county as an option for staying in the area. And so there's no guarantee for sure that there's jobs, and many of them, most of them, or even all of them, may not find a job they're interested in applying for and may all leave, and that may be the result of this for sure. The conversation that we've had and the inspiration that I've had, and the reason why I bring that up, is two things. One, it's not an immediate succession. They will supersede anyone else. but that they will become part of the team. And two, because of the fellowship, they're more likely to apply for local positions, and therefore we'll increase the number of people from these pools who are staying in the area potentially, and that is really exciting for me personally.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? 12 to 1. Right.
11 to 1.
I'm sorry.
11
to 1.
Mike Ziegler.
Mike Ziegler.
Oh, right. Sorry. 11 to 1. So, gee, I'll drop by in next June and say hello to the fellow.
Stop rubbing.
Next one, Chuck Robertson, $5,500. I don't know. Somebody want to move it? Carol moves it. Is there a second? Discussion. Martha, second. Just, I have one question. Why wasn't this figured in your budget, Kathy? Okay.
Basically, we ran out of money. We have to keep our target within 1.6, and with the request, we just couldn't fit this in the target, so this had to be an over-target request.
Carol?
So I put this on here, in looking again at what the what we had in there and what things we wanted to accomplish. I started thinking about this Health Alliance, and I certainly understand that that the committee that decides for the Human Services Coalition has to stick within a budget that we give them, and that gets tighter for our agencies. But how ridiculous that people, this is a labor of love to put your time and effort into providing health care for other people in a really busy environment, and that they felt that the thing that, that they didn't want to cut the services they were providing, and so what they couldn't afford to include was the staff and the benefits, including health benefits for the people who are there working with people who are sick. That just seems to me to be unacceptable in our community, and so I think we ought to do this.
Levelin, Martha, Dan.
So, Kathy, you know I love you, right? So I'm struggling with this, Kathy, because there were a few other agencies that the priority didn't rise to something like this that got increases, like 5,000, 6,000. But now you're telling me you all ran out of money. So why didn't this rise to the level of priority like those other agencies, which this seemed much more of a priority than some of the others? How did we? I don't want to micromanage your process, but I'm just interested in the thinking.
I don't know which other ones, but we looked. So overall, even though the county gave us the 2%, because part of our funding is county-funded, part is city, the increase we actually had was 1.6%. We did not suggest to fund everything that was requested, but the things that people, the committee put in our target, they just felt either that this was, I don't want to think for them, but this was a contained request that we could put in an over-target request that people would understand and possibly support. And they felt strongly about some of the other requests as being put into the base target request. That's the interesting part about using the Citizens Review Committee. They have strong opinions about what they think should go in target and what should be over target. So that's how they handled this one. I don't know about anything specific you thought
was
in
certain. No, that's
fine. Thank you.
Martha, and then Dan.
Kathy, No, I understand that you know, there are some really tough choices, and in some ways that the review process, it's a little bit arbitrary. You got to, maybe somebody that got more last year isn't going to get as much this year, whatever. I'm looking at the presentation that you made, so it's not the regular budget book, but it's our presentation. And it says here, for every dollar spent, the free clinic estimates it provides $3.50 worth of health care services to the community. I think given what's happening in Washington, we're likely to see many more clients in their doors rather than fewer in the next number of years, no matter what citizens might be able to beat back in Washington. So I think we really need to keep these folks going. I hope people will support this.
Dan.
I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. If we vote yes on this, we are increasing funding by $5,500 to Target to the Human Services Coalition,
to the Ithaca Health Alliance. These agencies contract directly with the county. We do the process, but you contract directly with them. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's the answer I needed to hear. I'm still not sure I understand, though. So, because you were just saying that you're given an allotment by the county, and the Citizen Review Board decides how to divide it up among agencies that apply.
Right. So our allotment is last year's target plus basically 1.6% overall. We divide that up, come into that. There's no restrictions about what we ask for over target, but anything that we don't fit under that is included as an over target. And we, instead of doing like little over targets for all 18 agencies, we try to fund some so that the over targets are a little bigger. So we did actually give the Ithaca Health Alliance in the target, they did get a 1.6% increase in their base, but because of their circumstances of rent and some of the and staff increases, we couldn't fit everything under that. So we put theirs as an over target. And they did ask actually for more things than that, but you know, the group really thoroughly reads the applications. They look at the strength of the applications, and this is what the group decided to put into over-target for this year.
Okay, I don't want to complicate it. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. What if that $5,500 were put into your allocation for next year, so that?
The allocation that goes to the Human Service Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
That's. Just runs the programs of the Human Service Coalition.
No, I mean...
Nope, I'm not understanding.
Well, maybe apparently I'm not understanding. So the county, there's a certain amount of money that the Human Service Coalition gets for the purpose of contracting with other agencies or deciding what agencies are going to get what.
Yep. I probably should let you. Joe looks like he wants to answer this.
Yeah.
You do look like that.
Although it's so late, so deep into the process, I'll probably fumble this too. But Human Services Coalition does the vetting work for us. So they look through all these and they come up with the recommendations about how much each agency should get. You tend to approve that budget in lump sum, but then once that's done, we do contract directly with each of those agencies in the amount that has been presented to you by the Human Services Coalition. So anything above that, so if Kathy asks for an over-target request, she's really asking on behalf of the Human Services Coalition as a part of their process. But if you approve this over target, our contract with the Health Alliance would be bumped by $5,500. So it would go directly to them.
Okay, well then I'm going to ask my question again. What if it went to the Human Services Coalition for the pool of money that you had to allocate? Because otherwise we're saying we're giving Human Services Coalition a bunch of money, but $5,500 is always going to go to the Health Alliance.
Oh,
I see what you mean.
You're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. This is what the group decided they would do with it if they had an extra $5,500.
Yeah, come next year.
Right.
The base amount of money that we've given to the Human Services Coalition becomes their starting point. we would build on that, and they'd figure out once again how to divide it. So you're not locking in. I understand your question.
Yep.
You're not
That's
locking
true.
In the alliance.
We're not locking that in.
Thank you.
Right. We use it. We look at it as a big pool of money each year.
Mike and then Martha.
No.
No? Gee, how did I make that mistake? Martha?
But doesn't the new target for the Health Alliance go up 5,500?
The Health Alliance has no target.
Right.
The target really is for the Human Services Coalition in the agency's account. And so that will go up this year, if you approve this, by $5,500. And because the legislature has said this is where we want the money to go, Kathy will make sure the money goes there, and we'll have a contract that does that. But the target itself is for the Human Services Coalition, not for individual agencies within that umbrella group.
Okay, I'm on the HSC board, and I've watched this a long time. And so all these graphs and whatever, they all say CVRC 2017 is 21.5, and then the next request, et cetera. You know, Health Alliance, the 2017 contract is 35.9. Doesn't the review committee start with what they got in 2017 and then go from there?
They know what they got in 2017, right. But that is not a guaranteed amount of funding. But sometimes an agency could come and say, hey, I got this grant for $50,000, and I could actually, we had an agency once that said, I could afford to take a cut this year if you want to give that money to somebody else. If we're going down the line, the next one, Women's Opportunity Center, which I probably should talk about now, but they actually took $5,000 from them in order to fund someone else. So it's not your guaranteed base.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
Okay, and then just to also be clear, the coalition,
yes,
as its own agency, doesn't take any sort of a cut.
No.
We
no.
fund them. That's the other
right.
part of the budget, right?
Yeah, we're in a separate contract.
Now, if I can just ask, Kathy said you ended up with an overall increase of 1.6%.
Let me try that
two?
One, too. So the amount of property tax support we provided went up by 2%. That's their local. But when they look at how much they have available to provide to agencies, they look at the property tax amount that we give them, but also they get a piece of the city's sales tax allocation. So the 1.6%, Kathy, tell me if I'm wrong, is really the bottom line effect of both of those revenue sources.
Mm-hmm.
So our property tax support is up by a clean 2. Sales tax must have been a smaller growth factor, if not a decline.
It was. I like
and
one.
So when you get to the bottom line of the sum of those two revenue sources, the net is 1.6%.
So just to remind folks, so the city doesn't put any property tax money into this at all. It's a formula driven
It's the old sales tax.
Sales tax driven.
Okay.
Right. And so we just lumping it together, so both of them put together. And it varies, but it's somewhere around a 60-40 split.
Okay, so
that
the net this year is 1.5.
A little higher or lower.
I think we're ready to vote on this. All in favor of the 55, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Thank you. Let's move on to the next one. Thank you, Kathy. 50 grand multi-year funding, Child Development Council. Leslin and I'll
move it.
Second. Discussion.
So I just want to say very quickly, this is one of the areas that we've had major about, the lack of child care options in Tompkins County, particularly for people who are in the lower end of the financial scale. So what we're attempting to do here is to set aside some money. So the Child Development Council, which is the premier agency that deals with child care and child care facilities here in Tompkins County, that would allow them to know there's some money. They will go out, similar to what we did with the housing monies we set aside, and solicit information, potential proposals, like if you had this money, what would you do to improve child care in Tompkins County to provide more child care options? Come back to us with a proposal. The plan is to potentially put this in contingency fund, earmarked for this,
So once there's a proposal that comes back to HHS or the legislature that we approve, then that money is available to support whatever proposals come forward as we try to put a dent. $50,000 won't do a lot, but put a dent in improving child care. Sue and I talked just a little bit earlier. Some of the things that we've heard at HHS and on this body, out in the community, you know, it could be something as simple as someone needing a small mini grant, $500, to make some improvements in a home for their in-home child care. It might be something the state is asking for because regulations change regularly. So that might be one of the things that come back as a potential proposal of how we can use this money. There may be other things. I just don't know what they all I have to look to. The folks who do child care day and night to share that. So that's the idea behind this right now, because this is a big, big need in our community.
Anna, just before you... my question is, this is not going to fund another person to tell us that we have a need for more child care.
These lovely people have been telling us this for 18 years.
Well, I understand
that. So, no, that's not the idea.
We're not doing a survey. I want this, if it's going to work, to end up in rehabbing someone's home to be a daycare center, do something where the money actually goes to the people that we're trying to help and not
that's
another study or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, we have studied that bad boy. So that's what we're sort of looking for, those proposals that come back.
And it's a program that's not fleshed out yet, right?
That's the idea.
Yeah. Okay, Anna, go ahead.
So I would liken this also to add to what Leslin just said, and thank you for bringing that forward. This is really important. The COC that we did last year, where we put $50,000 aside, proposal, the Human Services Coalition took different proposals. I'd like to note that there were $3 million worth of proposals. They went through them, specifically identified those proposals that they felt would have the greatest impact to address the problem that we had identified for which we set the money aside, and all of those were implemented with the $50,000. That's what we're saying is very similar to this. So these proposals haven't been done yet. The Child Development Center, like the Human Services Coalition, doesn't provide the direct services themselves. They are supporting agencies or supporting facilities or supporting group centers or family centers who are doing this work, and it would be support of them so that we would have an increase in the number of units, the number of spaces available for childcare. The only thing that I wanted to add is that if you read the three-page report, we are currently short over 1,000 spaces, and we haven't talked about this extensively before in this budget process this season, but please don't think that means that there isn't an issue or this issue is less than. This issue is equal to, at the same tier as the housing issue, and actually plays a part. They can't be separated. Also, people who can't enter into the job market, who are staying home because childcare is actually more expensive than the job that they could get might pay. And so it is affecting the workforce. It's affecting people's quality of life, how many people can be wage earners. So it has far-reaching implications. One of the biggest issues that we have right now is that the child care facilities are not equally distributed throughout Tompkins County. And so one of the issues that's happening is that people who are able to even utilize child care have to drive long distances to get there, which also affects their ability to do their work and their quality of life and the quality of life of their children. So providing support in this way would allow for potentially family centers or group centers to open up throughout the county so we'd have a more equal distribution so that people could improve their quality of life, enter the workforce, et cetera, et cetera. So it's much bigger and broader and more comprehensive than just what it seems on paper.
Rich and then Dooley.
In principle, this seems a worthy idea. I'm puzzled why this didn't go through the budget process, that this came in at the 11th hour.
It is going through the budget process. What do you mean?
Well, we've been looking at budget proposals since, I don't know, when was our retreat?
April.
And I saw that this came out in the last...
Well, July week. Would have been when it would come out.
Yeah, I just don't understand. It seems very rushed.
It's been in discussion.
It makes me nervous.
It's been in discussion for months.
But I think he's right in saying it was not part of the original budget proposal. I mean, this is brand new, isn't it?
Yeah, this is
okay,
brand new.
So
we have other proposals that have been
proposal.
Brand new that are not part of being part of the budget process. So I guess I'm
well,
not sure. Well,
everything is part of the budget process.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it makes me nervous that we're talking about committing $150,000 and it didn't go through the same review that other things have. That's all.
Dooley.
There's something parenthetical up there, via DSS contracts, question mark. Talk about what that means, please.
Kevin.
When I received this amendment, I did my best to try to figure out what the mechanism for getting the funding to the CDC would be. And I know that I believe it was last year Martha brought an amendment that increased or initiated a new contract with CDC related to child care. And DSS is, I believe, the department of ours that has the most, and maybe only, I'm not sure, the most contracts with CDC. We don't contract with them directly from county admin or anything like that. So I just put that down as a default because I have to, it's my obligation to tie these things back to a budget unit. And I wanted to make sure that was part of everybody's understanding. Even though it's a little cryptic, I agree.
Martha, Anna.
So on the... Again, the Human Service Coalition review, this is the page of community agencies and that go through the HSC review, and CDC is not one of them.
It's not one of them. It never
right. So they don't get sort of basic direct funding. They do a lot of contracts through social services. So the question of two things. One is this envisioned to go through Health and Human Services in the sense that once the Child Development Council has specific criteria and a process for soliciting proposals, would that get reviewed by HHS? Okay, so the criteria be reviewed by HHS and then the sort of winning proposals would also get brought by HHS and then be voted on and then come to the legislature, same as we did for the housing fund.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So to anybody who thinks, well, gee, this is new, I mean, I guess I feel like it's our role to identify, not just to respond to staff and agencies that come to us asking for initiatives or asking for funds, but also to identify things that we're concerned about and say, we'd like to see the county do more over here, do more over there. So I think this is an entirely appropriate kind of process, and I think it's a valuable step, and it is the budget process is entirely our making. I think it's, this is not just handing somebody money. This is going to go through the full review and vetting, as any other expenditure will. And the only difference is that the initial spark came from a legislator or two or three, rather than directly from an agency head. I think our agents, especially our nonprofits, are very modest. They really don't, they really try to do a ton of stuff without, say, rocking the boat or without asking for any more than they really have to. So I think it's a good step for us to be willing to identify an emerging need and ask this agency or ask any agency or department to take that on as a challenge. So I think this is a really important initiative. My, in terms of criteria, I certainly would want to see things that are can be accomplished with 1, 2, or 3 year money rather than targeting, you know, ongoing money. We're not talking about funding something that, on a future basis, but I think this is a really important step to take for our families.
Thank you,
Mike. I have Anna, Carol, Ledlin, do you have your hand up?
No.
In there? Oh, okay.
I had Mike.
So Anna, Carol, Mike.
I just wanted to add a few things that there's certainly one of the issues that we've been hearing about in HHS is that there have been changes in regulations recently to what facilities have to have physically in order to either stay in business or to join in, and that is actually specifically one of the things that this can address is those startup physical meeting the current regulations, and I think that that's really important and that's very tangible and something that can be addressed right away. I see the budget process. This is our chance. This is the creative time that we have to figure out how we are going to support the community for the entire next year. So it seems the perfect time to me to bring something forward that is going to be of tremendous help to the community. The last thing that I wanted to add was that it's not just DSS that CDC contracts with. It's also the Department of Youth Services. So any of this work could also go through the Department of Youth Services and those contracts. So there's actually two departments that are significantly affected by this.
Carol?
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, Rich, I understand your concern, and I initially shared it, although I don't see us as having, you know, as us now being done with the budget process. In fact, I've been on this legislature in years where things keep coming to us, and we keep making, adjustments, you know, well past tonight. And into the time that it comes to the legislature, and until the final, I mean, we have a budget hearing, and then we can still make changes, and sometimes things come to us. And I did initially share the reluctance because there's so much we want to be able to do that we can't do. Then I heard yesterday that the wait time at the Ithaca Community Child Care Center is 2 years. 2 years. I mean, think about that. You know, you have to put yourself on the waiting list before you know you're pregnant. you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. And, you know, if you look at your paycheck from the legislature and what you take home, you know, and it's costing, you know, $1,600, $2,000 a month to pay for one child. So, I don't understand how people do it. Child care is certainly not a new item for us. In fact, we have in recent years tried to stem the tide. A few years ago we put money in to try to help family daycare providers make small changes to their homes to try to keep themselves on the list of eligible properties to have home daycares, and that gets harder to do. And as housing prices go up, there's fewer who even can afford to live in a place where they can make that available, which just adds to the problem. When I heard this figure yesterday, I thought, okay, we are really not too late in the process, and this is something I think that we need to support
it's like the housing problem. We are not going to fix the entire problem for this amount, but I think that we'll be able to, to continue to try to put our dents each year into preventing the problem from growing even more exponentially worse.
Mike and then Rich.
I support this for what it's going to do. I wish the state had put some money into this. This is an area
Thank
where
you.
they should have done that. But I have to agree with Rich on process here. It's kind of late. We're crowding the old state member item process where there would be some money and the state legislators would come around to not-for-profits and government and say, isn't there something we can do for you? Haven't you got a project we can give you some money for? We don't usually do those kind of things. We usually say, if you've got a request, bring it through the channels, bring it through the committee, get the approval, do it through the budget process, not wait for the last minute. So I support this because I think it's a good thing to do, but I'm a little worried about the process.
Rich?
I don't think there's any dispute as to the need. I just don't think this is at all best practice. I have a second question on multi-year. And I say this, I'd like to support this. I want us to do something about the need. But I'm wondering, since we don't really understand what our plan is going to be yet, it's going to have to be developed, and I understand it'll be voted on, but what is the benefit of committing to a three-year proposal on this? Would it make more sense to do it as one time and make sure that this is something that's actually making a difference before we commit for years two and three?
Leslie?
So I like I prefer the idea that we say to folks, we're committing to this. And a commitment for me says this is multi-year. Now, every year we vote on these things. Let me just remind folks, we might say, yes, it's multi-year, but we still have to look at them every year. So there is good faith effort in saying that we're not just going to do this one time and that's the end of it. We're saying to you, we recognize this as an issue. We think multi-year funding would benefit this, and so we're putting it. That's just straightforward for me. Mike, I do have to respond to what you said. I don't want any of us, to feel like the agency did this. I don't want the agency to be sitting out there feeling bad. Martha and I had a conversation sitting right there about what are the needs. We talked about housing and we talked about childcare. And we said, we'll bring something forward. So we talked, well, what would that something look like? Martha talked about $3 million. I talked about $50,000. So that's where it's coming from. And I thought as legislators, we can do these things when we recognize needs. I don't think it was going outside of the process. The agency didn't come to us and ask us for anything. Poor Sue got blindsided, like, hey, give us something because, we know there's a need and what should we do? So please, I don't want Sue sitting over there feeling bad, like as an agency they came to us last minute for this outside of a process. This was a conversation these two crazy old legislators had right next at her desk right there about what are the needs. And there are all the things we talked about. We just hadn't gotten to those other things just yet. These two rose to the top, housing and this. So I just want to put that out there as such.
No applause, please. Anna, and then...
Hey! Taking away my applause.
Anna?
She said it.
Rich?
Yeah, I'd favor the model like we did with the College Upstate Initiative, where we said we're really excited about it. It's doing something good, but let's do it at one time and test it again. Make sure that before we make a long-term commitment, we're really sure about it. And I'd also, don't feel bad. Challenge us. That's your job, is to push us to do what needs to be done in the community. It's our job to weigh it. And I want to vote for the $50,000 for 2018. I just want to make sure that the plan gets baked and that we're comfortable going forward that this is something that is making a difference. If it isn't, then we really should do something different. And having it as multi-year, you get inertia. You know, that it just seems to, you sense the commitment and you just fund it again, even if it's not making the difference that we intended.
I will call on you three in the order I saw your hands. What troubles me is I'm looking at the sheet here, and the first thing says conduct a needs assessment. And the second thing says assess or survey business. I sat in meetings in the old jail 5 years ago and heard the same language.
Yes, we did.
No, come on. Anna?
What was asked, and I just want to repeat what Leslin said, that they were asked to throw something together really quickly. If we're sitting here and saying, we don't need the needs assessment, we want it to actually create units, that's what she'll focus on. But the one thing that I would say in defense of the multi-year is the need is so profound, and she's got 17, how many years have you been doing this? 25 years. If you sat down and talked to her for a half an hour, the rate at which she spits out solutions that are right on the tip of her tongue, that she knows already that could be implemented, that can't be implemented because this funding isn't there, she could spend this money and succeed at creating units faster than we could blink. So I think that if it were a situation where it was a half-baked, maybe we were throwing out something, I'm seeing something where there's been a hold, a pressure has been building up. This is a pittance amount of money that would make a huge dent and go really fast and create units on the ground, spaces for kids.
Leslin, Martha.
Rich, thank you. I like a good debate. The difference for me between this and the college program that as OER is doing is lack of affordable child care, lack of options for child care is not going away. It's getting worse. I don't see inertia happening when this is getting worse for folks. I don't know what you folks did. Child care killed me. I'm so glad my daughter's 11 years old. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad. She still uses child care. But it was extremely difficult. And it's not going anywhere. It's getting worse. And the more regulations come down from the state. I work at a community center, a certified, licensed child care facility. Every year I have a long waiting list, and I wish we could accommodate all those folks, but we can't. People are struggling. This is extremely different for me. This is a major quality of life issue for folks in our community. And so that for me is a huge difference, and where I see people will be putting a whole lot of energy into trying to find what are the solutions we can put in place to help this. It's not going away. It's gotten worse.
Okay, if y'all want a speech, my first career was in child care, and so I have, like, I can go back and... Okay. This is... Families are desperate. I mean desperate.
Oh, my gosh.
On a daily basis. So... I'm going to ask, I will save you that speech. I want to ask Kathy to come and talk about what, and if you want to tell us that it didn't matter that the 50,000 one time for housing was projected for 3 years, then that's okay, and we'll just do one time. But my sense is that telling the housing community that we're doing this thing, we're going to do it 3 different years in a row, obviously, we all have to approve it again, that enabled people to think differently. And because that's my sense here, is that if it's a plain old one-shot, then you get a different sense of creativity, of investment, of people in the field trying to really create solutions. So So the question is to Kathy, and it's an honest question, did it matter that this housing 50,000 is projected to be a three years, or was that irrelevant, do you think?
No, I think it made an impact. It made people really think about, hey, here's $150,000 that we can do something with, and especially because a large portion of it this year went to help subsidize people until they can get a Section 8 voucher. And sometimes a year is not enough to do that. Right now it's a year, but sometimes it's 15 months, sometimes it's 18 months. If you break that after you've helped somebody for a year, that person goes back right to where they were in the beginning. It also helped us do some transitional housing, which we need a lot more of, and we hope to move on to another project which we can get started, which may only, you know, which may house a population. We know there are certain populations that have certain specific needs for supportive housing, and it's not a lot of money to do that. So I think it made it, and it really means that, you know, you understand that this is a problem, that this is going to be a problem that isn't going to be solved in 1 year, so, or three. But
I have a question, Kath. Thank you. How many kids roughly are in child care in the county? Do you have an idea, ballpark?
Me? I don't. Sue
or
me.
Anyone?
Do you want to come to the table?
Yep, Martha Scott.
It's what you handed us, yes. What you gave us.
Yeah. Yep. So that, I think, shows a gap of about 1,200 for kids under the age of six. Is that correct?
Yep. 1,272. Mm-hmm.
And then school age is a much bigger gap, but the ways that that's served is more, there's more diversity there in terms of options. So there's roughly 10,000 kids under the age of 10, and if you look at how many live in households where both parents work or they live in a single-parent household, that's about 65 to 69%, somewhere in there. Roughly.
So roughly 3,000.
Under the age of six, yeah.
Yeah, under the age of six. Mike, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Call the question.
Question is called. Do I need a second for that? Yeah, Anna, all in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. Opposed, Penny? Two people. The question has been called. It's... Carolyn Dooley. Kevin.
Jim, I should note that when Leslin made the initial motion and was starting the discussion, based on what she said about her intent when she submitted this, I changed this to be from the contingent fund, whereas on people's sheet it did not. It wasn't at that time.
Is that what you meant, Leslin?
It's coming out of that contingent thing, isn't that right?
Yeah,
yes.
And that,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Joe?
I think what it really means is it will go into the contingent account for
right.
You to consider the plan and then...
Okay. Yeah. Opposite.
Point of information.
Much the same as the housing.
Because it's one-time money, so it's reserves.
Yes.
Point of information.
That gets parked. Okay.
Carol?
So this is why I voted against calling the question, because I thought there were still details. But a point of information, so is that via DSS or Youth Services contract still in there, or that was that
no,
we
that
should ignore
Kevin.
That?
Kevin said that was his language. Don't worry about that.
All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any. I'm opposed.
Thank you. No, thank you, Jim.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sue. We'll be in touch.
Robertson Women's Opportunity Center, 5K.
Okay.
You want to move it?
I'll move that.
You moved it. There's a second. Will, discussion. Go ahead.
It is the Women's Opportunity Center. Where'd it go? So this was one of the OTRs not funded. It was requested, but I assume, Kathy, that they just kind of ran out of money, again, as we discussed with the Health Alliance. And this would just be to maintain, the OTR would be to maintain level county funding. And they write that every dollar spent on Women's Opportunity Center services translates into an estimated $16 in buying power for participants and savings to the county and state. This is really a workforce issue, and WOC does a great job pulling in other kinds of grants. And if we vote this down, I'm going to call Dami Harris and have her come back and yell at us again. I think this is a small amount of money that really supports a really important effort.
Any other comments? All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed, Penny.
Thank you.
Passes. Last one, last two.
Have a good night, Kathy.
I'm sorry?
Last two on the printed list, but there may be more that the legislator would like.
Oh, heavens, you're right. Jesus. Go ahead, Martha, move that.
Okay.
So number 60274. Yeah, you want to move that?
For increased employee salaries for the Mental Health Association. When I looked at this,
I don't have a second. Anna, a second. Discussion. Go ahead.
And I went back and looked at the description from the county, from the health, the mental health department, and this, and then the next one are really compelling. I mean, these will support one of our nonprofits, one of our, you know, hardworking, hardscrabble nonprofits that provides really critical services to families in the community. And as we think about, maybe this should have been in the jails, in the CGR point, in batch, in terms of really supporting the kinds of services that can help people through mental illness, through with family supports, et cetera. And if you have anything to add to this, that, you know, I would be delighted to hear your description. There are great descriptions in the book here. It's section 4, page 184 and 185.
Sure. excuse me. As I described during the budget presentation piece, this came into the process late from the Mental Health Association. Their proposal was to increase salaries, and I'm guessing most all organizations could make that same proposal. But really what has happened is over time they have taken on more and more requests from the county and the community, and instead of saying no because they want to be a good community partner, they've really stretched themselves thin. And so I asked Josephine, the executive director, to kind of go back and look at this more from what programs, if you funded and paid your folks the appropriate salaries, what programs might you not be able to fund? And some of that is jail. They do provide services in the jail. They do also provide services to day treatment. The one thing that I would say, and I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but I would recommend that this be a one-time this year. And the reason for that is when this came to us, it came late in the process and it did not go through the Community Services Board. And as you know, we fund a lot of different organizations through the Community Services Board. And if I did not propose to them that we were going to ask for additional money beyond what we already had. And so I strongly agree that this is a great organization and this would be a good add. But I would like to have the opportunity to take it through our formal process before it became a recurring thing each year. But that's just my recommendation.
Any other comment?
If that's what the boss says, I'm good with that.
It's friendly to me.
Yeah. So it's a one-time. Anything else? Dan.
Yes. So both of these are for increased salaries. Do you know what they're making now and what the new salary would be? Because it doesn't say how many people. It doesn't, you know, I would like some of that info.
I don't, but what I do have is a kind of a retooled OTR, And for the 27,434, essentially what it would end up doing is, rather than increasing salaries, is it would pay for the jail visits that they're providing, as well as their services at county probation day treatment. And those two amounts, the jail services, they're estimating to be just under 17,000, and the day reporting to be just under 7,000. So that's really what the money would be going towards funding in that particular OTR.
Meaning increased hours for the staff, like more staff hours? Or?
No, it would be paying for those programs that they have added to their list of services over the last year or so that they didn't get new funding for, so they've had to spread out their existing funding. This would allow them to pay for those programs, take their existing funding, and do what is necessary to get their employees to an appropriate salary point from their perspective.
Mike?
Hearing Frank suggests that this needs to be vetted, should this be moved into contingency for 1 year? And if that's the case, I would move that.
Is there a second for that?
No.
I have a second. Martha?
Why wouldn't we? I'm sorry.
I mean, we know what
discussion is about moving the contingency.
Frank, you know that you know what this would go for. You know where it's not a new program. It's, as you say in here, the inability to pay a competitive wage affects the retention of the current trained staff and also the quality of the individuals who will apply for and accept employment with MHA. This has a direct result on the quality of service that's provided to the community. Now, if you want the Mental Health Services Board to have that opportunity next year, rather than just put it in the base budget that they would accept, I think that's fine. But I don't see where this has to be parked in contingency.
If I could just clarify, to the point about contingent fund, I think the money is necessary and appropriate, and they need it. My point about the Community Services Board is we fund many people, and if there is an appetite for putting new funding out there, I would want them to have an opportunity to weigh in on where that new funding should go. So that is my reasoning for the one-time versus target, not because of the merits of what they're asking for.
Anna?
All right, I understand that. That's a little different than I thought. I'll withdraw that.
Okay, we're not talking about one time yet.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah, that was accepted.
Okay, so it's withdrawn contingency. Anna, Carol, Dan.
I just wanted to acknowledge and appreciate and respect the fact that you're asking for the one time so that you can honor the process of inclusion of community members into this decision, which is the board, not that you're saying that you wouldn't recommend putting it into a permanent situation. You want to honor the process and community engagement, and that I which is why it was friendly to me, but for that particular reason. The other thing that I would note is that I understand what you're saying too, and I guess just reword and tell me if I'm correct on this. They have been stretched to the point where it's beyond thin of what they feel is solvent for them to maintain a stable business. So they're asking us to take on something that they've taken on for the community that they really can't continue to support without a negative impact, so that they can pull their own funds back in to pay for the full staff load that they have and do the services that their core services and their base services. So it's allowing them to both provide those core base as well as all this extra stuff that we have asked them to do, which is really important, which from what I hear, they're an exceptional part of the jail services that have been provided. So,
yes, fair assessment.
I just want to make sure I understand. So I support these both. So are we voting on both of these together?
No.
It's
just voting on
27.
Oh. You
just doing OTR 58. But not 60.
I support them both.
We are voting on 27434, one-time funding increase employee salary for Mental Health Association. Yep, the next one has not been moved yet. Dan.
So I'm sorry, Frank, I don't understand. Is it paying for a salary increase?
So in a way it is. What it's going to be paying for is them to be able to provide the services at the jail and at day treatment. So it's going to supplement funding. And then the funding that they were using to make that happen will go back to their core programming for them to be able to make whatever they think is appropriate, which I'm assuming will include some salary increases for their staff, with that funding that they've already had over the years.
So would it be fair to say it's going to call their general fund and that they will use it in the various ways they need to support the program?
No, the expectation with this money is it will pay for those very specific programs that they are providing at the jail and at day treatment. And then the money that they were spending there would go back to their general fund for them to make whatever determinations they decided.
Okay, thanks.
An even better part of the OTR description, MHA is experiencing a loss of dedicated long-term and talented employees due to the level of salaries currently being paid. The agency receives the majority of their funding through United Way, New York State Office of Mental Health, and personal donations. These funding sources are not adequate to provide for competitive wages to be paid. The agency has not received any significant funding increases in over a decade.
Are we done? All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed? Next one. Martha, you want to move it?
I'll move it as one time, right, Frank? Is it, yes. That's acceptable. Okay.
Anna, any conversation necessary? Dan?
Same question. Is the money going for staff? It says salary increases. Is that true or maybe true or?
It was. The expectation was to supplement the peers that they are already working with. They've put a lot of effort and energy into getting the peers online. As you can imagine, that takes a good bit of effort. And in order to retain those folks, they would like to increase the salaries a bit for those peer specialists.
But we don't know. We don't know right now what their salaries are and what their salaries will be.
At this hour, I don't know. I can tell you they are very low, and this would just be increasing them slightly.
Thank you.
Because there's several of them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So on this one, I don't understand why this one we aren't keeping it, like doing their request to keep it, to make it target. It's... doesn't seem to me that the need goes away after a year. So
none of this is the difference between target and one time has nothing to do with the need or the merit. It simply is that we have a process that we go through with the Community Services Board to support community agencies, and they didn't have the opportunity to weigh in on, again, either of these, and I would like to give them that opportunity as part of the larger process for the following year, 2019.
When did this get put in our budget book?
It's been in our budget book.
I mean, I'm certainly in favor of doing it, but I don't understand. I think the need.
Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity now.
I'm
all
in
favor,
decide.
Please raise
point
your hand.
Of information.
If there would be.
Point of information.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
It's okay. Is this one time then or not?
Yeah, moved it up
also.
One time.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm toying
Thank
with
you.
The idea of.
No,
amending
Carol,
it to target.
Can we just vote?
Well, can I just ask then? What? So in a year it would come back? Would you be? I mean, I would like to at least know that you're going to bring this to them and.
Yes, it would go through the budget.
Should this?
It would go through our budget process next year, and the Community Services Board would have the opportunity to weigh in on whether this was where they wanted to prioritize the increased funding, or if there were other places that they would prefer.
And the good news is, Carol, you and I won't be here. So
that's why I'm thinking about making a target now.
Julie.
How did it get in our budget book?
It just crept its way in.
Without,
I have no
without
idea.
Without the review that Frank is talking about.
So, how did it get in the budget book?
So the Mental Health Association provided this to us a week before it was due to Joe as a department. And so we didn't want to tell them no, it couldn't be considered. But we did try to, in that week, have some conversations about refining it. So it wasn't just about salary increases, that it was about programming. And that's why I have some of this additional information. But there was no time to get it in front of the Community Services Board to be able to react. And to be honest, the Community Services Board would not only just be reacting to this, I would want them to react to the totality of the money that we give out so they could decide whether this was a priority area versus other areas that they might want to fund.
I thought that departments had their requests into Joe months ago. And between that time and our discussion tonight, the Community Mental Health Services Board could have met on this and considered it. But that's what didn't happen?
Correct. They had gone through their process of reviewing the budget proposal already, but prior to us submitting, and we did not go back and re-review the entire community portion of the budget.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, there's a lot of unfortunate things that happen here. Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor, raise your hand, please. Opposed, if any? I'm opposed.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? Any other amendments someone would like to put forth, duly?
I don't know the status of two OTRs that were considered in the past. One is OTR 91, the county library's 30-hour-per-week youth services librarian. What did that turn out to be?
Half time?
20 hours.
20 hours.
It turned out to be 20, so I would like to move that to be what they requested, 30 hours.
Is there a second for that? Will, is there need for discussion, or can we vote on it?
Yeah, we need to know the dollar amount.
$30,000? I think. Is that what it is?
No. What number?
30
again?
Hours.
What number again is it?
91, you said?
91, OTR 91. 30 hours was 65,286. Yeah, 65. So it's 22,000 probably, something like that.
Can that be added without changing the levy?
Figures in that email.
I see it as 65,286.
Yes.
That's correct.
But the
for 30.
That was for 30, and what you approved earlier was
about $22,000.
That was my guess.
So the question is whether that 22,000.
Yeah, it was 30 hour week, I think. It passed as 20, right?
Right.
And you're moving it to 30?
Back to what they asked for, which probably will cost an additional 22,000.
Anna?
I just wanted to note that this will also not put us over the 2.4. We can do this and still stay with you.
Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 3 opposed.
Wow.
What else, Julie?
I have one more orphan. OTR 95. That's weights and measures.
Thank you. What's your proposal?
The request was to move his part-time employee to full-time, and that would have cost $44,655. I'm not sure what the right number is tonight.
Is there a second for that?
This only if we call it the Dooley Keeper honorary tribute position.
discussion on this item?
It was, let's
Martha?
See, here's the... I will vote against this. As I remember, there was some question of they don't have a second vehicle. Do you remember, Joe? Is there?
They're in the process.
That's not an issue. They're going to get a vehicle from facilities, so that'll be taken care of. So currently, we're at 1.5.
Right.
This would take the half up to a full-time.
Right. And the argument was something about training the halftime person, and there's already been 8 months since that person's been here. I think this will be well covered just fine with the halftime as it is. I'm really not in favor of this. This is, you know, obviously I've supported a lot of stuff, and I think we really have the responsibility to respond to the most critical needs of our community. This is not on my list.
I guess you don't have to worry about package accuracy, but most people are served well by this position. And
I'm not saying they're not served
and
well.
The 1.5 people now are not able to do the complete job.
Make a comment. I think when the current occupant of the job leaves, I would suggest that the county farm this process out. I think you could hire someone, a company, to do this for you, and it would be pretty efficient. Anyone else? Carol.
So we have talked about this over the years, and I couldn't disagree more, Jim, with your suggestion that we farm this out. The role of the public in ensuring accurate weights and measures literally is the very first thing in certainly Western civilization that was ever done. It is in the Old Testament that it is incumbent on the public to make sure that when you weigh out your beans or your meat, that you are getting the weight that you are paying for. And I will, for the last time, that you'll have to listen to it, give you my ka-ching speech, which is that, you know, when you stand at the pump getting your gas and that pump goes ka-ching, 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 and your money is just flowing out into, you know, your car, even as I do with my hybrid, you know, I want to know that you know, I am getting what I paid for, as when I buy my meat. And, you know, we have more stores. We have more items on the shelves. I've talked to Don over the years and found that, you know, they don't even try anymore as they, you know, they can only cover each store or enterprise that they're supposed to cover. I think it may not even be once a year anymore, but, you know, once a year, those that they are required to cover, they, you know, any items that are at all discretionary, even trying to cover all those stores, they don't have time to go and check on the shelves. Enough of the bags, whether you're rock salt is actually weighs what it says, or your whatever it is, pick your item, your tuna fish, your cans of tuna fish, whether they weigh what they say they weigh. Surprisingly, the state does not check those. There is no other office in which we do any kind of consumer protection. So if, you know, the kinds of things that office could be doing and does do in places where they have bigger staffs, you know, is putting out information for consumers. So there's just a whole lot more that we could be doing as to the, you know, the quality of the products that we all count on being able to buy. I don't think we've begun to tap and fill the market, our market, in consumer protection.
Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor, raise your hand, please. Opposed?
6-6. Looks like.
What was it?
Right.
6-6.
6-6, it looks like.
Can you recount that?
We'll do it again. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-6. 5 is a mayor and break the tie.
And yet there is money remaining in Target to have done this. Is that right?
Is there money remaining in Target? Looks like zero to me.
39. 39, and what was the amount that was in here? 44?
Anyone else have something they want to try to do?
So,
Martha had her hand up first. Go ahead, Martha.
So do I understand we didn't do anything on that 150 to mitigate risk, right?
It's out.
It only, what?
It's out.
Correct.
Got voted down.
It right. Got voted down.
At 75,000.
At 75. Hold on. Do you have a question? Or?
Well, I mean,
are you looking
I think
to do
39, something? I'm happy with putting 39,000 back in wherever it goes. So we didn't have to spend the 1.3 million. We came almost, you know, I think.
So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you a question. Where are we right now? The contingent balance is 39, roughly 40,000 bucks.
That's correct.
We're still to 2.4.
That's correct, Jim.
Close. Mike?
I want to move the tentative budget.
Wait a second. I had my hand up before.
Really? I didn't see it.
You did. You said Martha and then Carol.
Well, I have a Mike, do you want to hold off your motion for a moment?
Sure.
So I would like to, Joe, you had said something about sales tax, and I wanted to know whether you thought there was room in there for us to make an adjustment related to the sales tax. We held it
because we have eliminated the extra amount in contingency. It was there as a hedge against that kind of revenue volatility. I would suggest that you leave the sales tax where it is.
And now, back to you, Mike. You made a motion
I made a motion to approve the tentative budget as we're looking at it.
Is there a second, Glenn? Discussion?
No.
No, Martha.
Martha.
I think we've done a lot of things that really mattered, and I'm ready to vote for this budget.
And we'll fill in the numbers later on your sheet. Carol?
Yeah, so I had said to Glenn that I would be willing to reconsider what the kinds of thing that he was attempting to do based on where we stood, and I thought we were going to come back to that. So I would still be willing to do that. Do you want,
I don't
Glenn,
know what
do you
that
want
means.
Me to no. do anything with it? Well, I would, you know, I still, I guess I would like to have a few minute recess to just think about this before we start moving the whole thing. We've been here for over 2 hours, and I'd like a few minutes in between.
I have Leslin, and then I have Mike.
Chair, I'm just getting blurry eyes. I'm trying to see the numbers up there. So, Kevin, if you have one of those little red thingies that points on the levy increase over 2017, where is that? So we're still at 2.4. Did we go someplace?
No, it's 2.4. Minus 39,000 bucks.
2.3 probably.
Kevin, do you have that on yours?
Figure right here. Thank you.
What's that?
Do you have the new levy increase on yours?
Yeah, with the 44.
So I've got 2.32%.
Oh, but because we're not.
I think without the $39,000, we take that out. We were at 2.4. You've knocked a little bit off if that $39,000 just is used for tax reduction. So my number is.
I just didn't hear a motion to do that. So
there hasn't been one.
Point of information, isn't
Excuse
that
me,
money?
Excuse me, Carol. Please.
It's a point of information. It takes precedence.
Over what? Other people talking?
Over other people.
Oh, yeah,
their
go ahead.
Up.
Go ahead.
I wasn't done yet. I just want to know what the numbers are, Carol. So can you hold on just a second for me?
Well, I still have a point of information.
Yes, but she's in the middle of hers.
Well, go ahead.
I got reamed out for not allowing a point of information by Leslie.
Since we put money, since it's in contingency, isn't it still in contingency? Doesn't it not reduce off the levy?
No. Without a motion.
So in not approving the OTR, the big one, the $1,362,000 for the contingency, that liberates that $1,362,000, so you don't need to do anything there. The only thing that's left over, I think it's unspent, right? $39,000 of the available funds to stay within 2.4% are unspent. And I think it gets your levy down to about
2.3. Let's do that.
Mike had his hand up. Mike?
I just want to point out to everybody, all I'm doing is moving the tentative budget from the expanded budget committee, and it's not the final budget.
Right. Levson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the tax rate is where?
The rate is
trying to follow you.
Right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the tax rate will have gone down. If you adopt a 2.4, remember at the first meeting that Joe presented his budget, the tax rate went down, I think, with that. Someone else, Martha.
So I'm not sure the mechanics here because we haven't done this before. So, you funded the OTR 10, right? OTR is in the budget. But we didn't reallocate at all. So don't we have to... Wait a second. Tell me what we have to do, because I think what you're...
We've already done.
We have to recognize the $39,000, don't we?
Well...
Where it stays in
the Kevin, go ahead.
So I just simulated the... I guess the, what would it be? Amending the, some way of pulling, using the $39,000 as savings. And I guess I'm a little bleary too and not clear about whether that's an amendment to Joe's number 10 that reduces it by 39. I think that would do it.
Because we have.
Someone want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, OTR 10 is funded at 1.362474 with the idea that we reallocate it, which we have done with that number minus 39,537. So I think we need a motion that takes that OTR to 39,537?
No.
It would take the opposite.
No, this is a really good point, and I'm sorry I missed it, but I do think we need to reject that OTR that I funded in the, I think, the full amount of the
$1,362,000. Unless we regard all of the motions drawing it down as amendments to that motion.
Yeah.
I said we need a reason.
Get back to us on that. What's the simplest thing to do with the $39,000?
I thought it was moved to reduce
it in
that.
Contingent.
1,362 by 39.
Yeah, I would suggest we put a motion on the floor to reduce OTR number 10 from 1,362,474 to 1,322,937.
Does that work, Kevin? And
that sounds right.
Yeah. I have a second.
Wait, can I make a question?
Excuse me.
I have a question.
And I have one first.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, I asked it, and I'm waiting for the answer. Does that work, Kevin and Joe?
No.
I don't think it does. I think if you amended it by removing $1,362,474, that would get you to the tax levy reduction of $39,537. So I think you need to amend it to remove the entire OTR number 10. I think that's the way you're going to want to do it.
So here...
Someone want to do that?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, can we test it? Because your formulas should work. I mean, if you put, yeah. if you go to, if you treat it as an OTR like these others, and Joe, did you say reject it?
Yeah, I think you need to take it up. You need to amend it by saying no to that OTR.
Right.
So. I've been tallying this without regard to that big OTR. So Kevin's been doing the subtraction. Mm-hmm. I've just been tallying what you've done. We come up with exactly the same numbers in terms of impact. So,
right, but we need the formulas to work.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because that, am I to understand that box
on
the,
I see you, okay.
The box on the upper left is it or is it not connected to the spreadsheet below?
This box here.
Yeah.
Yes. It's being, every time we say that something, the source is, target from contingent.
You've been reducing.
It draws that. It draws this balance down by this much.
Okay, but the bottom spreadsheet, which is looks like the main, like the whole enchilada, that's it has to show up there, doesn't it? So under that line, line 79, you need to put the 132,362, correct?
Let me ask you this, Joe.
Here's what I would...
What if I moved the $39,000 into the contingent fund?
Second.
I believe you can get to where you want to go, which is to reduce the levy by $39,537 from the 2.4% by amending OTR number 10 to zero it out. And even if it doesn't fit in this model, the way the arithmetic's been set up to help you track what's going on, I believe you get to the bottom line that you want to achieve.
So moved.
Because that's the way I've done it on my sheet, and I'm coming up with the same numbers as Kevin, including a little reduction in levy that shows up there.
Kathy, I have a problem then, because I had...
I consent to postpone my resolution till after this one.
Now, Anna.
I was going to say the same thing as Joe.
But then...
If we remove the whole thing, then that means it doesn't go to contingent. None of it does. And all of them then pull from what we're setting as the budget.
Is that a motion?
And will remain $39,000 negative, which will then go reduce the levy.
Right.
So we have to pull it all out of contingent, or we won't get the effect of the $39,000 reduction in our levy. So I would move to just pull it all out of the OTR, reject OTR 10, bring it down to zero, so that we have the negative 39, so that we have a reduction in our levy by that much.
Dan,
second.
Discussion, Carol.
I think this is a ridiculous way to handle it. If we haven't taken any time. Usually we pretty much have finished the, making our amendments to the budget after the second budget meeting. And we have, maybe a few come back, but not several hours worth. We're kind of fried. I think, first of all, we need to leave Joe and Kevin some time to think about this. At least 10 minutes here, so that we're sure of what we're doing. I think it's ridiculous for us to end up with a headline tomorrow that says, for one day, we came in under this, the 2.4% we'd set, and then have somebody go home and look at their original list and, come and make an amendment tomorrow when we do, Tuesday night. Is that tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow, when we do this again.
No, we don't do this again tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. We...
No.
No, we don't.
When we move this forward, people are free and have, in fact, in the past, come forward with additional amendments as in order to approve the budget on the floor of the legislature. That is what our process calls for. And then we do it at any point again, and we'd certainly do it again as we adopt the budget after we hear from people. And so to not keep in there the $39,000 in contingency seems really short-sighted for a one-day headline before people go home and think about this, as fried as we are. So I would either like to, move it to contingency, that $39,000, I guess I would amend the motion that's on the floor. How would I have to do this? Either we vote against it, or I'd like to amend what's on the floor to...
You eliminate everything but $39,000, I think, would do what you're trying to do.
To eliminate the whole OTR 10.
That is the motion on the floor.
Right.
Well, no.
Minus,
no, we're...
Just add $39,000 back to it.
Can I explain it? I think I can explain it.
I know what I want to do. I would like to... what was OTR 10 originally at?
1.362.
62. Because I don't want to put in an adjustment for that 39.
Please make a motion, Carol.
Well, Kevin is making it 22. So the original one was 1 million. Is that what you're doing, Kevin? 1,362,474. I would like to keep that amendment at that. But no, just amending. Basically, it's I'm amending the motion to be just.
To leave the 30,000.
Yes.
If someone, is there a second for that? Die for a lack of a second. Original motion, Martha.
So the thing is, we have Joe already funded 1.362 million.
Right.
It's in his budget.
Right.
We have now spent 1.322.
Minus 39.
No, wait, no. We have he spent 1.36.
Right.
We spent 1.32.
That's exactly right.
Now, if we want to add 1.32 to Joe's budget, let's go home right now. I don't think that's what we want to do. So we need to say, okay, the 1.36 comes out because we've funded 1.32.
Precisely.
That's the motion on the floor.
Yes. Right.
Any other discussion? All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. Opposed, defending. One opposed. Now, Mike.
Back to... the resolution, I guess we're looking in front of us with the figures filled in, adoption of the amendments, and that's the tentative budget.
Okay. Is there a second? Martha seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, defending? We have a tentative budget. I want to request an executive session to speak with Ken Schlutter, please. And we'll clear the room.
Purpose of the executive session, please?
Personnel issues. Motion to go into an executive session. I will make it. Is there a second? Dan, all in favor? Opposed, Penny? Thank you.